Let's take a few moments to prepare our hearts and minds for worship.
We celebrate Jesus.
Born to be our Savior.
We celebrate Jesus.
He is Christ
the Lord.
On this day of days, loving God, we gather to celebrate the wondrous gift of Jesus Christ, born long ago and still today. Child of the universe present among us, may we, in the things we do and say, continue to give birth to the presence of the living Christ in our world today and always. Amen. Even on this day of celebration, let us come before the Holy One of Israel, confessing our sins with contrite hearts, so that we may not deceive ourselves, but instead know the truth of our forgiveness. Let us pray together. Almighty God, we confess that our hearts have not been open to all that you have revealed to us in the nativity of your Son. You sent Christ to be born as a helpless child, and yet we have not attended to the suffering of children. You chose to humble Mary to be the mother of our Lord, and yet we have not attended to the struggles of women. The Holy Family could find no room in Bethlehem but a stable, and yet we have not attended to the cry of the homeless and underhoused. You announced your birth to lowly shepherds, yet we tend to ignore those on the margins who frequently work to provide for our own needs. Forgive our lack of attention and free us for joyful compassion that we may know Christ in serving others. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Children of God, hear the good news. God's love knows no bounds. Love comes down at Christmas, a love so deep and so profound that nothing can ever be the same again. Know that this love has come for each of you, to touch you, to heal you, to forgive you, and to make each of us whole. Our scripture Thanks. Reading today comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 1. Let's pray that God might give us understanding. Loving God, your word became flesh in Jesus Christ and lived among us, full of grace and truth. Send us your Holy Spirit this day so that we may hear a word of grace and truth once again and be empowered to live it out in our lives. Amen. Today we thank Naomi for sharing with us the good news of the gospel.
Good morning. The reading is John 1, 1 to 18, and it is on page 1027 in your pew Bible. John 1, 1 to 18. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, He gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, "This is the one I spoke about when I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' Out of his fullness we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, right? Nobody has ever seen God. But through the baby in the manger, something that we all can know and relate to, he is made known. The light shining in the darkness. One of my favorite Christmas reflections is a summary of what a Christmas pageant would look like if we relied on only one gospel at a time. So if every year we could only do a pageant based on one of the gospel writers, year one would be Matthew. We would get Mary and Joseph and an angel. And then we would get some magi and a star. There is no shepherds, no sheep. Elsie Donaghy would be very disappointed. There's no sheep in Matthew's gospel, and it's very short. There's not a lot happening. If the year for Mark's gospel is really, really sad, there's no pageant. Mark has no interest in the nativity story, and he jumps right in at Jesus' baptism. Anything that happened in those first two decades, not covered in Mark. Luke, thank goodness for Luke. Luke is our Charlie Brown Christmas with the shepherds and the angels and Mary and Joseph and the manger, but no magi. No wise men in Luke. And then there's John. John, I just don't know how you would even begin to cast John's gospel. You would need darkness. You would need light. You would need the Word become flesh. We might manage a baby. John the Baptist gets to make an appearance, but it's all very metaphorical. John skips not only the angels and the shepherds and the magi, but the mother and father as well. Because John was a poet. And he was trying to do something different than the others before, than the other three gospels. There's a sense that he is trying to find a way to tell people about Jesus so that they can understand the massive reality of who Jesus was. He didn't want it to just be a story about a baby, which could be easily mistaken for a human child, which he was, but he was so much more. He wanted to tell about Jesus in such a way that people would say, "Wow, Jesus is amazing." And he wanted to tell Jesus' story from the very beginning. And the very beginning of Jesus' story is not When the angel visits Mary and says, you're going to have a child, it's not when the angel visits Joseph and says, it's okay, you can still marry her. It's not when the star appears in the sky or when the angels visit the shepherds in the fields. The beginning of the story is all the way back in Genesis, when there was nothing except God. So you might imagine the author of the gospel sitting down to write to his congregation and writing something like, in the beginning was Jesus. Jesus was with God. Jesus was God. Jesus was with God in the beginning. And realizing that nobody was going to understand what he was talking about. So maybe he tried again, thinking all the way back to the beginning, to those wonderful images we have of creation. The beginning when God spoke the world into being. When God said, let there be light, and there was light. And so maybe this is where this idea, this image of Jesus as the Word comes in, and the light. Remember, always, that in the beginning there was darkness until God spoke otherwise. So John's words offer us a cosmic look at God's loving action for the sake of all creation. These words are what take what Matthew and Luke give us in the manger, and they give us meaning. This is where a movie in the Star Wars franchise would be that preamble that scrolls across the screen before the action starts. Or in the world of Netflix and streaming services, they're the last season on clip that you have the option to skip that precede the show. They are important because they give information and context needed to fully interpret and understand whatever is about to happen. So these are the words that allow us to take this very, very small nativity scene, this baby and the Holy Family and the manger and the strangely silent cows and sheep and the angels and the shepherds and the whole nine yards. These are the words that allow us to take all of that and widen the view to encompass the entire world. Because the truth about Jesus' advent on earth is that it cannot be contained in a snow globe. I cannot fit it on the two shelves dedicated to nativity scenes in my office. The story doesn't fit there. It is so much bigger, and that's what John is trying to get across. These words, this word, the Word made flesh, is what's at stake in the Christmas story. It isn't just a story about a baby born in some backwater Roman colony 2,000 years ago. It is a story that changed our story, past, present, and future. C.S. Lewis describes the Christmas story, the Christian story, the word which Christmas is at the center of, in this way. Enemy-occupied territory. That's what our world is. Christmas is the story of how the rightful king has landed, you might say in disguise, and calls us to take part in a great campaign of sabotage. A great campaign of sabotage starting with a clandestine operation with manger hay as its cover. And I think the gospel writer John would agree. The world we live in is enemy-occupied territory, because even though the world was created by God, created through and for Jesus, the world doesn't even recognize him. So this great campaign becomes necessary because the problem of sin is greater than any of the solutions that we might come up with on our own, and Lord knows we've tried. But this isn't just about restoring us to health. This isn't about us needing to be good people and work for social justice. Those are important. But this is about repairing the tear in the very fabric of who we are, the tear that separates us from God. Jesus came because the relationship between creation and creator was broken. John's gospel introduction voices the scope of all that that sweet baby in the manger came to do. That baby who came to be a light shining in the darkness, a word made flesh, a beacon of hope, tangible and real. So Jesus's birthday is a celebration that nothing in the world can overcome the light of God. No amount of darkness, no amount of pain or suffering, no amount of sin, not even death itself, can overcome the love, light, and life that is ours through Jesus Christ. This is the word and the promise of Christmas, that the light of God, the word of God, came to dwell among us, despite the darkness of sin and death seeking at every corner to put it out. And that light shines even today. It shines wherever God's children gather at the manger or rejoice at the empty tomb, love and serve others, and seek to see the light of Christ in even the stranger, the orphan, the widow, the prisoner. The word of God, the light of Christ, shines wherever we gather as the church to proclaim the glory and honor of God, wherever we seek to worship and glorify him forever. This is the story that John seeks to convey in his poetic introduction to the good news. It is a story which is so big that only poetry and metaphor will do to describe the scope of God's love for creation. God came into this world in the flesh not just to keep us company, not just so that artists could paint and paint and paint some more and create these beautiful scenes for us. The word became flesh to turn upside down the ways of the world, to right the ancient wrongs, and to remove every obstacle that we might put between ourselves and God. Bethlehem is the place where heaven meets earth. Because of Bethlehem, heaven meets earth all over. It is the place where the boots hit the ground, and I once heard a preacher describe it as God parachuting behind enemy lines as the baby Jesus in a manger. And the message of Christmas is that we are called to follow. Don't forget your parachute. To all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave the power to become children of God. And if we are children of God, then we are called to follow the Christ child wherever he leads. The story doesn't end at the manger. It never even began at the manger. It began with the word. We are charged to take that word and the words that we have since been given. We are charged to go and tell of the wonderful things that have happened, just as the prophets foretold. We are called to go and do likewise, turning the world upside down, or rather right side up, God side up, kingdom side up. Our mission, should we choose to accept it, means that over time our lives will be transformed into the shape of the very living God, the very life of God, the God who spared no expense and became the word made flesh living among us. This is not a mission for the faint of heart. This is not a weekend trip. This is a long-term deep cover operation. You need to be all in. Every corner of our lives will be affected when we choose to become children of God. The life we lived before must be set aside if we truly seek to receive the transforming word. To follow Jesus, to receive him, and to claim our identities as children of God means to allow sin no safe corner and to believe with every cell in our bodies that the light shines in the darkness and the darkness will not overcome it. God of beginnings and endings, God of the eternal Word made flesh in Jesus Christ, we give you thanks for the gifts that Christmas renews in us each year. We hope that as another year ends, something new will yet be born in us and for us. A trust that even in the longest nights, stars promise your light will continue to shine. The truth that even what grows old can be made new when love is born again in us and for us. As you came to us in love as the Christ child in Bethlehem, so we come to you with love and concern for the world. In this time of prayerful expectation, we remember families who are living close to the edge of survival in these challenging times, worrying about how to feed their children and what to expect in the year ahead. We remember those who will spend this Christmas alone, in hospital, in grief or loneliness. We remember those who work today while others celebrate or relax. We remember those who have lost their sense of joy and wonder, the spaces being filled with cynicism and despair. We remember those who face the year ahead with fear and anxiety because their lives are filled with violence, upheaval, or unwelcome changes. We remember those who celebrate the birth of a new life, new love, or a new way of being. We remember those who are sick in mind, body, and spirit. We pray that your hand of healing, comfort, and peace might be upon them, that you might grant renewed strength and energy to those who are tired, care and patience to caregivers, comfort and rest to those who suffer. Lord, we remember before you, particularly today, John and his family. We seek your presence and action in his life. Lord, hear our prayers now for all those we name in the silence of our hearts. Holy One, the Christmas season often fills us with memories of loved ones. We remember those whom we have loved and who have loved us, who now dwell in the internal joy of your presence. And we give thanks for all they mean to us still. With both joy and concern in our hearts, we gather our prayers together with the words that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. God with us has come to touch our world and our very lives. God with us has come to bring us out of darkness into a glorious light. Jesus invites us now to come to the table, believing in the promises of God fulfilled today. Here we hear angels and see shepherds and are transformed by a baby. Here love is offered and love is found. In the sharing of bread and cup, we find our journey's end and its beginning. Come, the table is ready. Let us share in this joyful feast together. We affirm our faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, O God, source of abundant life. Through Jesus Christ, your eternal word, who creates all things by the working of your Spirit. For he is the reflection of your glory, the very imprint of your being. In him you have become one with us so that we may become one with you. Holy and wondrous God, long ago you spoke to our ancestors in many and various ways. In these last days you have spoken to us in your word made flesh, Jesus, who proclaimed your dream of peace. He gave himself for our weary world, accepting death so that we might live, and held our darkness deep within until through cross and grave and empty tomb, he set us free for love. On the night before he died for us, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink of this, all of you. This is my blood poured out for you and for all for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink this, do this remembering me." Recalling his death and resurrection and longing for his coming in glory, we offer you these gifts of bread and cup and our very lives in thanks and praise. Pour out your Spirit upon these gifts that they may be for us the body and blood of our Savior Jesus Christ. Pour out your Spirit upon us so that we might be a people of grace and truth, bearing good news of joy in every season. Bring us at last with Mary and Joseph and all of your saints to that vision of eternal splendor for which you have created us. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, by him, with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, we worship you, O God, in songs of everlasting praise. Amen. Friends, these are the gifts of God for the people of God. Taste and see that the Lord is good. The body of Christ, the bread of heaven. The blood of Christ, the cup of salvation. Let us pray. having been fed at your table, Lord. Strengthen us for the days ahead. We give thanks that you have united us with each other and with you. May we hold that promise of peace. May it spill over in our love and our joy. Equip us, challenge us, and call us to share your love with all that we meet. Amen. God's word has come to earth to bring us together in love. So go in peace to love and serve the Lord. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each of us this day, now, and forever. Amen.